Revelation chapter 3. And before we begin on this chapter, I want to touch on a small point that I was thinking about after last time. In chapter 2, in the last church we dealt with, I really didn't make much about Antipas. Now, it's not denying my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. And usually the first thing they'll tell you is that, Antipas means false father. But it's also a proper name. See, almost all names have some sort of meaning because they're derived from some word in a language. But a lot of times people try to put way too much into that name. Sometimes it has to do with when a person was born, they would name them after a particular situation. So sometimes names are significant, but it is presumptive to assume they always are significant. There is a traditional figure, St. Antipas of Pergamum, who was martyred. And there is not a lot of information about him, but there is this tradition, so this could quite likely be a historical figure. That means we're talking about a church that was a church back in the earliest times. They have the most ancient ancestry, going back all the way to the apostles. Yet how wrong things can go, how corrupt things can become. The fact that he is mentioned here leads me to think that perhaps this is a church that takes a lot of pride in their ancient heritage, that they go way back. Yes, we are an apostolic church. We trace our church back to the days of the apostles very early in church history. Christ suggests all the way back to the time when Antipas was martyred. But there are churches who take particular pride in the fact that they are a historical church. They like to see themselves as able to trace back their organization to the days of the apostles. And this may be a reference, because I'll tell you what, in those churches you do see the doctrine of Balaam. You do see fornication and sacrifice to idols. The main thing you need to focus on, though, is not trying to decode cryptic passages, but rather to be sure that you understand and obey the easy-to-understand ones. You know, one could easily get sidetracked looking at Antipas and Satan's seed and trying to draw some sort of Catholic conspiracy out of it or whatever, and miss Balaam, fornication, eating things sacrificed to idols. So often, just as Christ taught, people will strain at a gnat and swallow the camel. The thing that damned them was not nothing to do with Antipas. They were faithful in the days of Antipas. Well, good for them. But rather, the problem is they had the doctrine of Balaam. That was their problem. So I just wanted to touch on that because I don't believe I really even said a word about it. Chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and art dead. That is a very stark opening. I know thy works, and you have a name that you live. You mean you have a reputation. This is a church that is reputed to be alive, but is dead. Not a lot said in favor or in any good sense there. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It's interesting that even though very little is said, we get a sense that this is one of the gravest cases, that this is one of the worst cases, just because of the even in Sardis of all places, even there. It's sort of like saying, even a blithering idiot could see the scorn in that statement. You have a name that you are alive, but you're dead. I don't know, there's a lot of ways in which I've seen that in many places, you know, where I've seen it was dead. But it's hard for me to even think that anyone even had a thought that they were alive, so to speak. I mean, they don't have this reputation as being lively. But I mean, what does he really mean by you have a name that you live? Does it really mean that you're a lively and active church? Or what does it mean, like some sort of, is it a reference to salvation? You know, you have a reputation that you live in Christ, that you are one of his. But you are not in Christ. You are not living. You are dead. You know, dispensationalists have problems with this because, you know, for them, that's not suitable because all people live in him, of course, all the Christ people, you know, we who were dead and are now alive in Christ. For one, I'm not a dispensationalist, but for two, Luke 8:18, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. You know, I grant to anyone who tells me they're a Christian that they are a Christian. They say they are Christian, but they are not Christian. They only seem to be Christian, but they will be judged as Christians. They say they are brothers, but they are not brothers. They only seem to be brothers. They only seem, but they will be judged as brothers. They say they are the church, but they are not the church. They only seem to be the church, but they will be judged as a church. Yes, these churches may seem to be churches, but from the description, you can readily observe that they're quite something else. They said that they were Abraham's seed. Christ himself attested, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you are not his children. You only seem to be his children because of the blood relation. In the spirit, they were not his children. And these churches outwardly appear to be churches, but inwardly they are not. They may trace their lineage back to the days when Antipas was slain. But a lot has happened since then, and though they build the sepulchres of the martyrs, this does not excuse their evil deeds. Like the scribes and Pharisees, they were whited sepulchres. You know, you walk to a church, you see a whited building, a steeple, a bell, a cross, a minister at the middle, a choir, whatever. It's all just seeming to be something it is not. God sort of granting them, okay, you're a church. I'm going to judge you as a church because you say you are one. Not because of his work on the cross, but because of their claim. God is saying here, you have a name that you are alive. I mean, you call yourself Christians, but you are dead. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be dead. You'd be alive in the spirit. God is God of the living, not of those that seem to be alive, but of those who are alive indeed. That's the point, is that there are so many false brethren in the world.